Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I am Chauncey Williams.
I am Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay, we normally start off with sports. So we got a new NBA champion.
Yes.
How about that?
The Denver Nuggets that did it the old way, where a coach hung around for 10 years.
Yep.
Players, the core, 8 years together, right? And you picked up some prime free agents that could have been a starting five somewhere else. From Jeff, that had the heart surgery, Jeff Green.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The boy Brown that played with Kyrie Irving
Bruce
and
Brown.
KD, right? Caldwell Pope that won a championship in the bubble.
And was in Detroit.
And in Detroit,
Bruce
right?
Brown was too.
Oh, and five Pistons won a championship, former-ish, right?
Yeah.
Ish was there. So some Pistons, almost 4 to 5 Pistons won a championship. So that's like that St. Louis championship from the Super Bowl.
Right.
The Pistons is back, right? So the Pistons, that gritty toughness on defense, that made the difference. Because their boy Aaron Gordon, when he moved to Denver, he built a whole gym with the sauna, pool, weight room, and he lived in it. He had a bunk bed or something, a full bed inside. He bought a gym and made it his house.
That's called being dedicated to your craft.
He bought a gym, Tony, small gym, and made it his house. Basketball court, weight room, facilities.
He got no mansion.
With a garage.
He didn't go buy no mansion?
With a garage.
With a bowling alley and the theater.
Drive
and all that
in.
Stuff.
He right the gym right when he get out, look at his car, the gym right there. If you walk a little further, he got his sauna, hot tub, right? Treatment table, then weight room. Right?
That's what you call committed to your future, man. He invested in himself, right?
Yes, he did. And it's That is just amazing. So, but Denver, yeah. I think we got a. I don't want to say we got a dynasty. I'm not gonna speak too early.
It's NBA, tough to repeat. We know that.
Yeah, because the NBA gonna shuffle, right? They're gonna shuffle the deck real soon and fast. They already did. Yeah. Bradley Beal getting traded for Chris Paul. It already has happened, right?
Yeah.
But then I want to say this. I was thinking this morning, Tony. I say, man, the way I used to play basketball when they say, oh, that's how they used to play back in the day. I'm back in the day now because Chris Paul was somebody that. Coaches say, you got to be like Chris Paul. You got to be like Isaiah. Those guys are not around no more.
Nope.
NBA teams are cutting the guys that's 6'3 and under. If you are a conventional point guard, you a bum now.
There's no place for you on the court.
But you can run a team, but they're like, no, we don't need you to run a team. We're trying to get the shot up in 7 seconds. We don't need to run no plays.
We don't set up no more. We don't look for the weak link.
Nobody not looking for the post-up dude no more. If you get in the post, you got to kick it out for the three.
Yeah. So, yeah, the landscape has definitely changed in the NBA. Speaking of Isaiah and CP3, you know, he made the comment that he thinks Isaiah has too much influence in the Phoenix Suns front office.
So he did the Adrian Dantley to CP3.
Yeah, he shipped him out. But come on, man. You were in the playoffs 2 years in a row, and you were never there to help. Right? You were injured.
You was injured. Conference finals, they lost to Dallas because of you. Right? Y'all had it. Y'all supposed to be back in the finals again.
Yeah.
Got put out because of you, because you got hurt.
It's not personal. I mean, you know, I said he's a great guy. Great teammate.
Yeah, Chris Paul, good.
But when it comes time, man, for you to be ready to win that championship, you got to be available.
And then this is what? Today is the anniversary of Isaiah hitting that the 46 points in that 24 in the third quarter.
Yeah.
When he had that broken ankle. So he like, you can't talk to him about playing hurt.
Can't do it.
Isaiah, look at you like.
I played on one leg, dog.
You're not cut like
finals.
Me. You're not cut like me, youngster. This is not a spot for you. You got to go.
And, you know, he just made the comment, but he understands this is a business.
Yes.
Okay, we like you. We ain't saying you can't play.
But you don't play when you supposed to.
But you ain't commercial. Not commercial no more, dog.
Yeah, it's not going down, man.
It's
a sad situation, but hey, it is what it is. And NBA draft next week.
Next week,
I believe we're gonna have Kobe Bufkin out of Grandpa's Christian. He gonna get picked.
You think he gonna be in a lottery pick?
Probably 14, 15, 16. Okay. I'm thinking like Orlando Magic got like 3 picks. I think they gonna grab him.
They got a lot of draft stock.
Yep, Van Andel family. He went to Grandpa's Christian. Look at the Johnson kid, Derek Fisher's brother's son. He made it to the NBA. Phoenix picked him up a couple times. Xavier Tillman out of Grand Rapids Christian, he made it, right,
with the Grizzlies. Yeah, he's with the Grizzlies.
But Kobe, I heard ESPN talking about Kobe, Stephen A. Smith them.
Okay.
About Buffy, like, hey, it's looking good for him. So, and he hasn't worked out for nobody.
Okay, so they're just going on film.
Yeah, so it's somebody that's going, that's, they invited him to the green room. He's going to be in the green room, everything. And I'm saying this because I've been knowing him for a long time, and I want people from our community and our region to be picked up, just like Anthony Bradford, right?
Yeah.
Like a Khalil Pemberton. They on NFL rosters. They not practice team players. They on the roster now.
That's it.
What's up? I'm drafted, and I made the team. Give me my money.
Getting paid.
And we talking about at least $500,000.
Yeah.
Well, you got to pay your agent and stuff, but you're talking about at least $500,000.
But still, you know, how many jobs around here, entry-level jobs, pay that kind of money?
If you just get 3 years at $500,000, you could do something. You could do all right.
And, you know, speaking of the pay and the games played, of course, the Pelicans have been in the news with Zion.
Tricking if you got it.
It's like they've invested all this money, man, and have gotten nothing in return. So is it time to move him?
It might be time. Look, I am going to say this.
I'm just saying.
This is PG rated. I'm going to say this. Zion tried to announce that he was having a baby with his girlfriend. And some mistress that he had said, hold up. I didn't know you had a baby on the way. Right? So she supposed to be some adult star. And she's saying that, hey, New Orleans, y'all better trade him, or I'm going to put this other video out on him that I got. And he got a trap phone. He got a trap account. She's like, I expose everything. So I'm thinking Detroit basketball. Send it to Detroit. Give him that hood love. They're going to have an east side, west side for him. Get him some buffs.
Okay.
We'll take him.
We'll take him.
We'll work with him. Detroit will work.
Yeah, because money ain't no joke, man.
Yeah, we'll take care of him.
With money, if he's going to play for money, he going to be straight.
And Detroit to get him right. If you want that nightlife, Detroit to get him together. So
no doubt, man. No doubt. Maybe it's a good spot for him. Get him out of New Orleans with all that good food down there.
Yeah, because he tripping. He had an outfit on one day. They was like, oh, he looked like he's somebody they can cash out. Yeah. I think he had like some horse saddle pants on. They was like, the girl looking at him like, oh, get him. He easy.
He's easy.
and that's crazy, man. It's just, you look at that society today that social media raised these kids to success so fast that I always see this, Tony, the mentors out there. They say, hey, I would like to talk to him. And I was like, wow, when you look at the NBA and NFL rosters, there's no OGs on the roster. Everybody like 25 years old.
Yeah.
So everybody bumping into each other head, blowing their money, getting in trouble, getting kicked out the league.
25-game suspension for John Morant.
Yeah, 25. That's $7 million,
man.
27.
Guys betting on the game in the Jameson guy from Detroit. Sports betting inside the facility. He gets suspended a half a season, which equates to millions of dollars. How much did he bet? You know what I'm saying? But you hit it, man. These kids,
something different.
They don't get it, man. You don't do stupid stuff and give up $7 million.
I do want to say this, Tony. I've been 24 before, 23 before, 25 before, right? But I was an educator at 22. I walked into education at 22. And I'm not saying I was a John Morant. I'm not saying I was a Zion, but it was a profession that I had to carry myself at a certain expectation.
You would hope so.
Right. I had to, because I had students, I had community.
Your parents, administrators.
They knew who I was in the neighborhood, even though I was young, right?
Okay.
And I can remember either going places. I can remember going to a club with my brother in Detroit one time, right? Older club. It was like a 20. No, it was, yeah, it was 25, 30 and up, but I went with him. So I wasn't 30.
Baker's Keyboard Lounge.
Yep, something like that, right? But it was in a hotel. And I remember being in the line, and it's a funny story. And one of my students was like, hey, Mr. Wills, what you trying to do?
Uh-oh.
And they were in the seventh grade. And I was like, who keep on calling my name, Mr. Wills? You hear me? And their mama was at the club, but they were staying at the hotel the kids was.
Oh.
And I was like, I thought to myself, I was telling my brother, he was laughing, but he said, hey, look, it could have been different. Right? He said, it could have been different. You could have been doing some thugging or doing some dumb, but you with me and we having a good time together. He said, look how you dress, look how you carry yourself. So I think about that in those capacities. Like, when you're in a community's eye, and they pay you millions and millions of dollars, it's not get ready. It's like, stay ready. Like, you got to be like, this is how I move, this is what I do, this is where I hang out at. And if you got, you still got that itch to be that person that want to be the gun toter, why you don't have no gun range at your crib?
Okay, you can afford it.
Yeah, on your property, and just do what you got to do.
Have ground rules.
Yeah.
Say, hey, dude, no social media for me. Or if we're hanging out or whatever, put your phone away.
Because I'm cut like that.
You cannot display what we're doing, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to really address the people that you are with, because they can make life really bad for you, man.
Yeah. And then just just two more on the sports. I know Nick Saban was in the news talking about we need to bring the level of playing field in college football.
Level?
Like, yeah, he said that.
I'm like, because he's not winning championships like he was.
And he's not getting the players no more either. Okay. They dipping. Remember, all them players left from Alabama when the portal opened, right?
Yep.
But then we also got Deion Sanders, where it's
like
he facing probably a foot being cut off or amputated.
Yeah.
You know, and just, you got to think, he played in the league a long time, and then his diet, too. So that can affect a lot of things. But then you think about, like, man, life is precious.
Yes, it is. You don't know if you're diabetic or not, but, you know, a lot of times that's what happens to diabetics, with that poor circulation. And you wind up having to get toes amputated, feet amputated.
I don't think he knows who his father is, do he? Deion Donald, do it.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I ain't never heard, seen his dad or anything. Never heard. Mm-mm. So I don't think he know who his dad is. So he don't know what the genetics are behind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then, we're going to wrap up it on this, on athletes and sports. But you know, you get the athletes, I can eat anything I feel like.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
But then that stuff catch up with you.
Yeah. Not many of my LeBron.
Yeah.
That, you know,
don't eat what he feel like.
Oh, no. No, he got a chef, right? Yep. And it's specifically, these are the things that I can eat that's going to help my body. You know, $1 million a year is what LeBron spends on his body. $1 million a year.
And that's a drop in the bucket. Somebody that's probably doing $300 million, right?
At minimum.
But it's a good idea and a good concept. But speaking of millions, we got the Google $23 million settlement out there. I saw that, Tony, on social media. I saw it in some emails because, you know, it's a lot of, I wouldn't say spamware, but it's like a lot of software out there that's, they're getting your information and they're selling it.
And that's exactly what happened, right? And when you think about it, $23 million is not a lot of money for a company like Google.
$7 a check. $7. Yeah. Everybody gets $7.
$7 a check, right?
Yeah.
If you opt in. So it says in 2013, Google found itself a defendant in a class action lawsuit alleging that the search giant violated users' privacy by selling their search terms to other websites. So here's who was eligible for compensation. People who used Google search engine between October 25th of 2006 and September 30th, 2013. When using it, people would click on a link in the search field. That's it. You might expect millions of Americans are eligible to receive compensation under this settlement. $7.70 will be your payout.
Mm. Look, I'm going to do like this.
I'm going to get mine.
I'm thinking like Martin Lawrence back in the day. He said, they got me for my 77. Give him my 77.
Yeah, I knew that's right.
Run my 77 right back to me. That's what I want mine.
Yeah.
And I fill them out all the time, Tony.
Oh, I do too.
I've got some for like $100, $200, $300. I fill them out.
Yeah. And, you know, they're going to take your word. There's nothing you have to prove.
Yep.
Okay. But you have to do it by July 31st of 2013. So here you go. To make a claim, you have to go to the claims website, which is the Google settlement claims website, and then register. Once registered, the website will assign a class member ID, which is necessary to file a claim. Once you register, the site will email you an individual class member ID. So there you go. Get you $7.70.
Yep,
and it comes right in your PayPal. You to have it.
Yep, and if you got a PayPal account, it'll go right there. The money go right there. That's how it go.
Yeah.
When I've done it, I always do my PayPal account so nobody can't steal nothing from my actual personal information. Put it in PayPal. Boom, check comes. It's like, oh, you got money in PayPal. And that's what it is.
Yeah. I know it's not a lot of money, but they have a lot of money.
Like they say, it's the principle in my 77.
The principality of it all, right?
Yes, sir.
Give me my $7.70. So, yes, go ahead. Get your $7 from the Google.
So we got inflation cooled in May, and then that made it where the interest rates didn't have to change. What did you think? Even though it's based on a quarter, though, right?
Yeah, right now, the last meeting, so if we have one now, it won't be until the fall.
They said we're going to raise them at least twice.
Yeah, a quarter of a point, which, you know, at this point, it's kind of a moot point, simply because interest, the consumer price index was at 4%, which is basically what inflation is, and they want to get to 2%. But, you know, there's so many components that come into that CPI. And actually, you know, back in June of 22, it was at 9% interest, I mean, inflation, which from go from 9 to 4 is considerable.
That's a big jump.
But, you know, there's still, you know, housing costs continue to push higher. You know, personal transportation costs also continue to rise. The cost of a used car and truck jumped 4.4% in May, matching April's increase. Year over year, it is 4.2% lower, though. New car prices dipped slightly at 1% as of inventory levels improve. However, on an annual basis, the cost of a new car is up 4.7%. And then you have to factor in groceries, right? Everybody got to buy those. So the index for cereals and bakeries, they rose 10.7 over 12 months. The remaining majority of grocery and food groups posted increase ranging at 0.3 for meats, poultry, fish, eggs, to 9.2% for other categories. And then the cost of eating out rose 8.3% over last year. Checks at full-service restaurants rose 6.8%. Over last year, while the tab for fast food rose even higher at 8% over the last 12 months. Energy was one of the few categories where consumers found some relief last month. Energy index dropped 3.6% in May after rising 0.06 in April. And gasoline continues to be the main driver of the energy costs. So, you know, this all has to do with how much take-home money. It's going to be discretionary after you pay all your bills.
Man, it's tough situation. That's what it would be, I would say. Just tough that, like you said, new car, used car. I had some work done in my used car that I didn't have forever.
Okay.
Right?
It's running good, though, right?
Yep, forever. I had some work done in mine. So I'm like, so I rented the car, right? And it was a Chrysler 300C, right?
Oh, okay.
I had for like, I think, 4 days. But originally, look, it was a car that my wife supposed to use to go to see her parents. And I was just going to keep her car. I was like, well, just get you something, right?
Right, take the rental. All
right? So then at first they was going to give me, and I ain't got nothing against it, they was going to give me a Kia. And I was like, hold up, the Kia boys will get that in Detroit.
Don't want it.
Right? I was like, I can't do that. So then I show up at the rental car place, and then the lady knew me. One of my former clients. And she was like, oh, she looked. She's like, here you go, Miss Williams. So we go out, it's a brand new 300C 2023. My wife said, I can't drive that either.
Not to the D.
Right?
They're driving to the D.
With the Hemi in it and everything. She's like, no, I can't drive that either. So I ended up keeping it and driving it. And I remember driving, I was like, this car drawing too much attention for me. Right?
Really?
Yeah, because I remember being at school and one of the students was like, who driving that car? Right, or, and then our one of my work buddies, he said, it looked like a car that somebody got their income taxes back. But because who would buy those vehicles, right?
Right.
Something that's $45,000 and, you know, it got all the bells and whistles, but, you know, they Mopar. And,
okay.
You know, after 3 years.
Chrysler?
Yep. Chrysler, after 3 years, what's going to be? You're going to be driving, you're going to hit something on the bottom. You're like, what's that? But they drive good when you first get them, so. But just like, I didn't get the new car itch. I drove it. It was fun. But I was like, wow, this is a payment right here. I looked at the payments. I looked at this. I was like, oh, $457 for 48 months. I was like, oh, this ain't it. I can't do that.
I can't. It's a bad feeling, man.
Yep. So the new car smell, I got over that. I was like, it's nice.
You know, you can buy that.
Yeah, I know. I be buying the air fresheners. Or I do this, Tony. I buy the downy, the little drops, right? They like these little drops. And then I get like fabric softener, pour it into a water bottle, put a hole in the top, put like 3 ounces of bleach, shake it up, put it in the car. And then in the summertime, it get warm. You smell like air freshener.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I never knew that, man.
Yeah, smell like Downy.
That's a little trick.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to get the good smell like the dryer sheets riding around.
Right.
I smell like somebody did their laundry up here. Yeah, I don't need that that new car smell to trick you. So, but that payment will get you. It's rough. It's a gangster out here, and I would say a gangster in a way of like ganking your money.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that's what they do, man. They're good at marketing. They want to loop you in, get that new car smell, and that's what you're buying, that smell.
Yep. So now we got trying to buy a home. It may be cheaper to rent.
Yeah. Up there. But anyway, yeah, based on some recent studies, real estate brokerage Red 5 found out there are only four major U.S. housing markets where it's cheaper to own a home than to rent one: Detroit, Philadelphia,
yep,
Cleveland, and Houston.
Man, Detroit got some nice, they got some nice condos, houses, and I'm talking, they at the prices of 2014. Right
okay.
now, I mean, like anywhere in Detroit, I was looking at a condo today. I was like, wow, 170 for all of that. That's beautiful. Or that's 150. It. I'm like, that's nice.
Yeah.
I seen a brick bungalow on the west side. I was like, wow, it's a nice neighborhood. It was two bedrooms, two baths. It had a attached garage. It had a finished basement. I was like, $900,000.
That ain't bad.
I used to work in that neighborhood. I'm like, I live there and work at the school.
Yeah, because they're saying it is 25% cheaper.
Yes, it is.
Than buying, okay? And we know that with inflation, you know, that's part of the issue here. It says refi analyzed prices for single-family homes, condos, co-ops, and townhouses in 50 of the largest U.S. markets, researching estimates what a home buyer monthly house payment would be over those properties using the estimate of the house home value. March, and it was with a 6.5 mortgage interest rate, which is the average rate, the research estimate, the monthly rent will be one of those homes usually selling for 5 to 7% more. So, in other words, if you're not really rooted and you're just looking for housing, because you got to have a roof.
Yeah.
In those communities, it's probably not a bad idea to rent at this time until these interest rates can come back down.
Yeah, it is. And like you said, it's when you look at it, you're like, okay, if I'm going to be in a house, that's something different. House and condo, something different. But you're like, okay, if I'm going to be here, and you're like, well, I got to pay this, this, and this. Do I just pay this monthly thing, or do I do all this other stuff?
Yeah.
To try to flip an investment where it might not, you might not have that margin right now to flip the investment. Like, well, you put all this money in, like, well, it ain't that worth that much. You're already on the top heavy end of the loan. You won't have that much equity in if you do that.
Right. Well, you know, there's always been the argument between purchasing a home and buying it. But in today's market, national monthly mortgage payments for a home is $3,385 compared to national average rent of $2,715.
That's national average. I'm glad.
That's almost a grand difference for renting versus buying. And that's a 30% fixed mortgage, right?
That's why them millionaires are living check to check. It's actual millionaires living check to check because they got mortgages that's $10,000 a month.
I'm sure they do, man.
I'm paying $10,000 a month.
Yeah, they be in foreclosure.
Yep. I got this house. I got this car. I'm paying $2,700 a month for it. So I'm $10,000 mortgage on a $1 million property.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm paying this car. That's $300,000. I'm paying $2,700 a month on that. Then I got a black car. I got $5,000 a month on that. And then I got these things, so-called things that say I'm investing, and I got an LLC. I got all these businesses, but I'm really loaning myself out every month.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I mean, it's just like when you watch those shows about the curse of the lottery or whatever, how people can get millions of dollars and then be broke.
Yeah, I want to answer that. Like I think about that, right? I do. I think about an abundance blessing of myself, right? And you know what I think? I write it down, Tony. I write it down. I say, okay, happenstance. When this happens, like go to the gas station, fill up on gas, I get a ticket, boom. Oh, Chauncey, you win $50 million. I can fathom it in my mind, but then what I would want to fathom is, what does my next 10 years of employment look like if okay. if I could just get the next 10 years out of whatever I win?
Mm-hmm.
I said, next 10 years, that's this. What do I need to pay off in the next 10 years? Right? How right. do I stage that? What do I give away to the community foundation in this city, right?
Okay.
What do I give back there? What do I give to my family as an investment? And then what is my nest egg that I can't touch in the next 10 years?
Right. That's how you do it.
Right? And I think like that, and I'm like, so then when I get that itch, like, oh, you only got 10 years of income.
Hey.
You got your job still. Nobody don't know that you got this money.
Nope.
Because how you did it.
Yeah. You don't tell nobody.
And then 10 years, you're like, you'll be in a different space in 10 years. 5 to 10 years, you'll be in a different space yeah. mentally. Like, nah, I'm going to do this with this money.
Mm-hmm.
Because these things happen, and I'm here. And you be like, oh, you got another $6 million coming out that 50 that you had. Oh, okay, I got it. What? Well, go ahead and keep it as a dividend. We're going to reinvest it. Or I'm going to recycle it. That. So I think about that. Like, I don't think, like, it's never going to happen. No. It's a win that's going to happen. We talked about this. Windfalls come, and they do.
Oh, yeah.
And when a windfall comes, you're like, nah, my discipline behind my windfall is this.
Yeah. And I always think that the people that, for however it's determined who's the lottery winner, rarely do you hear the success stories. Most of them are horror stories. They didn't talk about a guy that won the lottery 20 years ago and still basically had the principal of that money.
You ain't talking about him.
Because he realized on the interest in dividends
how much blessing.
You can still, live good off of $300,000-$400,000 a year.
Yeah, a 4% on $50 million.
Good life, man. And that's what
creates. That's almost $2 million bucks.
Generational wealth, where now you can take a portion of that, put it in a trust for your grandchildren, things of that nature. But nope, got to buy, the biggest house.
Yeah.
Got to have 20 cars.
You got to look like, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this right here. You got to have 20 cars. You got to have all these pieces, right? But my thing is, and I'm going to get spiritual with the community right now. Blood is in me and on me, right? Mm-hmm. So when I show up, I don't need the watch or the necklace. I'm me already.
I don't need it, bro.
I'm me. Y'all know I'm rich. Wow, look, he just driving this. Right? So if you know you rich already, why you need to have the necklace on? Why you need to have the glasses on? What you need the vehicle for? If you're going to get the vehicle that you like, I want this kind of vehicle because I feel that, yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Or you got this kind of living situation, yes. But you're like, do you need the necklace that's $1 million? You need the glasses that's $30,000? The jeans, I don't wear the same clothes every day, right?
Yeah, we heard that
designer,
story.
Right? Yeah. But then I'm going to say this. When you talk about that people squandering the opportunity, the windfall, or just the blessings that they're receiving, it's like they so excited to run the money to give it to another namesake instead of my family name.
Right. Gucci
Maybach, Mercedes.
Yeah.
They name worth more than my name. Like, no, I got $50 million, what my family need first? My family name means something. Gap worth billions of dollars.
Okay.
Right? He worth billions. He like, oh, I got Gap. I'm going to get me some Gap, too. Yeah, right?
Uh-huh.
So now I'm like him. No, you're not. You just traded your wealth for to have his namesake.
You are a consumer. what's really sad is I had went to Chicago this week and had stopped at I was one of the fancier places in Chicago.
I got to go next week for some training.
And go to the mall. It's the fashion mall.
Oh, yeah. It's been high time.
Hey, brother, you don't browse. There's no browsing, okay? There's security at the door. There's like two or three people in the store at one time. And I'm talking, and I don't even know all the fancy names, man.
Dolce & Gabbana.
Yeah.
At least one of them. That's it.
But it was really, really weird to watch these people stand in line to go into this store.
To get a bag.
Or to buy whatever. And it's like, why?
Man,
it was weird, man. But I mean, smash and grab is where this all coming from.
Yeah, it's big time, smash and grab. But then look, speaking of, like you said, we're talking about finance, we're talking about money. And then it says Congress has a plan to link retirement and emergency saving plan. Now that sound Right now, to me, that sounds crazy right now to say that you got to create my retirement and you got to do my emergency saving because I don't know how to do it.
That's exactly what it says.
So, like, we just trust the government to print our food, take this pill, use this artificial intelligence, right? We're going to give your retirement and your savings. No, they not. That's a good, man, Tony, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go on and go in greater detail about it.
Okay. So, 2018 study from the Federal Reserve found that 40% of adults, if faced with an unexpected expense of $400, would either not be able to cover it or would cover it by selling something or borrowing money. More recent research has underscored Americans' financial failures. Many have to scramble and potentially dip into retirement or take out a payday loan when hit with a simple curveball as an unexpected car repair. We're not forcing employers to offer this, but employers have a business cases to offer the source of solutions, one of the advocates says. So basically what they're saying is that if you put up a certain amount, the company will give you a certain amount for that emergency fund along with your 401k. And it also says that most people should have 12 months of emergency funds, which if you can't even cover a $400 unexpected bill, chances of you being able to cover for 12 months is out of the question. So it's going to be interesting to see how this makes it through Congress. I'm like you, I don't think it's going to work. But that's what Congress is proposing, is that we come up with, in the sponsors, Cory Booker, we know Cory.
Yeah, we know Cory.
Todd Young, Indiana. And it says that they were folded into a larger retirement reform bill called the Rise and Shine Act during a Senate hearing this week. The bill also encourages more retirement plans and has been endorsed by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and others.
Now, I want to think globally now. I'm going to think globally. Now, I see why Cory Booker and them, they doing it. I do. I'm not taking my statement back. I'm not withdrawing it. But then I understand that it is a population in this country that's corporate and it's a population that's underserved, that they can't get full benefits.
Nope.
Because they only work 30 hours a week. And that's that service area. Like, you're talking about somebody that works at the Walmart, at the Walgreens.
Your local restaurant.
Local restaurant. And they making America run.
Come on. These
people, and this is me advocating for it. They're making America run, but the corporate is like, nah, we keeping all this money for our slush. Right? Yep. I got a $300 million bonus as a CEO of Walgreens. And I got the opiate drugs that's killing everybody, and I'm just going to pay back this lawsuit. But I'm not giving nobody no benefits.
Nope.
Because you, if you're not a pharmacist, you ain't cooking a drug up for me. You only want getting 40 hours.
That's the new drug dealer, right? Baby.
So the person at the cash register, you're not getting 40 hours. Walmart, nope, you're not getting 40. So then now that person that's making that wage, that's helping them meet their ends meet, right? But it's not a living wage because they don't get that.
In order to get those benefits, you got to be 40 hours.
Yeah, because the 40 hours changed the unemployment, the UIA, right?
Yes.
It makes it one and a half. So every dollar you get is a dollar times a half, right? You get a dollar and a half. So, like, if somebody paying somebody $50,000, you're like, no, they really paying them $75,000.
Right, because the rest of it goes to unemployment.
Right? And the benefits, right? And all that, right? Liability, all those things, COBRA, all that stuff. So it's like, and they pension and everything, right?
Yep.
So, like, I'm going to have some one day. But then now we reach a society where it's like, okay, no union, no this, no that. And now you like, oh, you working, you got a job. You're like, well, I got to stay here till I die.
We'll work two or three jobs.
I got a piecemeal job. I got to put the pizza place together, the drug store together, and the convenience store together that I can be able to say I'm making a good wage. And then I got to buy the name brands that look like I'm feeling okay. Then if I got to buy the name brand that I'm feeling okay, then I got to put some substance in my body because I know I got to go through this hell again.
Okay.
With piecing these three jobs together and do it again till I die, because there ain't going to be no retirement. So I see why Booker's pushing for it. I'm not switching on it. Like, man, I feel kind of – I'm mad that our government got to do it instead of the corporate 500s.
Right.
The Fortune 500 saying, no, I can't take that, all this money from these bonuses. I can't take this $700 million. I just got one last year.
Yeah.
I just got $70 million last year. I'm going to take another $70 million. Let me put it over here and make a couch with it.
Yeah. And these people here fighting for a 2 or 3% rate increase.
Or a pension or a retirement plan.
Yeah.
Or at least benefits for they can go to the hospital. So I understand why Booker's doing. You brought that name. I said, oh, okay. Now I see.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He's trying to help those that are somewhat financially illiterate, but yet they are hard workers. But just don't understand the concept of saving and putting away money.
Yep.
So
and they might
have more
month than time, right? The month might be longer than the money they get because of the job they put them in.
Yep, absolutely, right? Man.
So that's our show today, Tony.
All right, Coach.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success, 101.3.7 The Beat.